Radio Prague News.
Czech President Václav Klaus has called on the United Nations to return to its original agenda. The Interior Ministry is planning major changes to the Czech Immigration Police Unit. And Czech women's basketball team beat Japan at the World Championships hosted by the Czech Republic. Czech President Václav Klaus addressed the General Assembly of the United Nations in the late hours of Saturday. In his 10-minute speech, the Czech President told the UN that it should pursue the goals laid out in the United Nations Charter and not get involved in the world economics. Amid a debate on the UN's new objective of global economic governance, Mr. Klaus said the UN did not need any new objectives. It should instead reduce its budget and streamline its administration. President Klaus said the United Nations should become an effective organization representing individual countries and their citizens. Commenting on the world economic crisis, the Czech president said that more regulation would not prevent future crises, but would rather destroy the markets along with the chances for economic growth. The Czech Interior Ministry is planning major changes to the country's immigration police unit, TV Nova reported on Saturday. The ministry wants to discharge most of the officers working under the Czech police headquarters. As of the beginning of next year, smaller immigration police units should be established under each of the country's 14 regional police headquarters. While a police trade union leader said the move could lead to fewer police checks, Interior Minister Radek John said that with more immigration police officers in the regions, the supervision would increase. A monument to Farina's curve was unveiled at Brno's former racing circuit on Sunday. The curve, part of the old Masaryk racing circuit, was named after the Italian car racing driver Giuseppe Nino Farina, soon after he crashed his car there in 1949, killing two spectators and injuring 12 others. A year later, Farina went on to become the first ever champion of the newly established Formula One. The circuit, built in 1930, stopped being used for races in 1987 when the new Masaryk circuit was inaugurated and is now used for regular traffic. Czech women's national basketball team beat Japan 66-60 in Brno on Saturday and secured the second place in Group D at the World Championships hosted by the Czech Republic. The Czechs built up a comfortable lead of 17 points by the end of the third quarter, but made a series of mistakes in the final part and allowed the Japanese to bring the difference down to 4 points with 3 minutes to go. Czech forward Jana Vesela then converted 2 penalty shots and set the final score. The Czechs secured second place in their group and advanced to the round of 8, where they will next face Korea. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The start of the week will be mostly overcast and cloudy with rain across the country. Highest day temperatures should range between 11 and 15 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Thanks for joining us. Today we'll be talking with you, our listeners, discussing your questions and comments in this week's mailbox with Pavla Horáková. Following that, we'll have this week's Letter from Prague by Ian Willoughby, and finally Science Journal, looking at Czech spaceships. Never heard of one? Then stay tuned. But first, here's Pavla Horáková with this week's mailbox.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Mailbox. It is special because I have two very special guests in the studio today. Tracy Andreotti won a week-long stay in Prague, courtesy of Park Hotel Praha, for herself and her husband Henry Claude, for her entry in Radio Prague's annual writing contest. Congratulations once again and welcome to Radio Prague. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's a pleasure.
Please tell us, where are you from and what you do?
Well, we both live in St. Louis, Missouri, and we've lived there for a while. I'm originally from California, lived in New Jersey and Massachusetts, but we've been based in St. Louis for a long time. And we are both musicians. I play cello, which I've played since I was 8 years old. And I'm a freelancer. I play in different orchestras. We play with an opera company. We play pretty much anything for hire. And then a lot of other groups that we form on our own. And I also am a teacher of cello and beginning strings for children.
I work as a percussionist in St. Louis, and I have been there for about 35 years, 40 years almost. I was born outside of Chicago, so I'm raised, I'm corn-fed, raised in the Midwest, and worked to become a orchestral percussionist and then branched out into all kinds of other things, instrument building, composition, and especially one of my loves is contemporary chamber music and playing music for dance. And I'm the music director of the dance division at Washington University and teach percussion there also.
Wow. Tracy, you wrote in your entry that it was Josef Škvorecký's books that drew your attention to Czech culture and eventually to Radio Prague. Is it really true?
Oh, it's definitely true. I was interested in the history and the culture of Czech Republic, and I had actually for a long time focused on, I really liked the German writers, and I also really liked nonfiction, and I started reading a lot about the fall of communism, and I was always so impressed and intrigued by how it happened here in this country. So certain names started cropping up, and one of them was Josef Škvorecký. And then so I finally decided, okay, well, I will try and find one of his books. And as I wrote about it, I found The Engineer of Human Souls. So I absolutely loved his writing. I think he's just an incredible storyteller. And then I started reading little blurbs about other people in the back of his books or on the cover. He is like Hrabal, or you will like, you know, Milan Kundera or whatever. And so then I started reading all of them. And so, yeah, he was the first, and he just opened up all these doors to me.
Do you listen to Radio Prague, or do you read a website, or do you combine the two?
Yeah, I don't listen on the shortwave radio. So I found it on my computer when we got new MacBooks a few years ago. It was listed under news, and I was actually looking for BBC, and I saw, oh, Radio Prague as well. So that's when I started looking at the website and reading that and checking it. It's on the top little scroll thing. I'm not sure what it's called on the computer. So it's the first thing I go to every day, and I look at that. And so I also listen. I have it set up on my computer where I can listen to what is being broadcast at the moment. And then obviously the podcasts as well.
Do you have the same passion for Czech musicians as you do for Czech authors?
I do for a few. What's interesting is, of course, you grow up and you're playing, you're studying classical music, you're playing Dvořák and Smetana, you know them. And especially as a cellist, I mean, the greatest work ever written for cello is the Dvořák Cello Concerto. So there are those. And then it wasn't really until I got this big interest that I discovered the music of more contemporary, although still old, Czech composers, Janáček and Bohuslav Martinů, whom I absolutely love now. And actually on Radio Prague, one of my favorite people who I'm completely obsessed with right now is Iva Bitova, mm-hmm. who there had been a spotlight on her. And then I went on YouTube and saw some of her videos, and now I have all her albums. And whenever I feel depressed, I listen to some Iva Bitova.
I'm asking also because I know that you took part in a couple of our monthly mystery Czech quizzes concerning musicians.
Yeah, when did Schubert die? That one I knew. I was like, oh, that's Schubert.
If you know the answer to this one, please don't give it away.
Okay.
So in September, we are looking for the name of an opera singer who was born in 1807 in the East Bohemian town of Teplice nad Metují and died in 1886 in the German city of Dresden. You have until Thursday, September the 30th, to send us your answers to english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 12099 Prague. In the next edition of Mailbox, we will reveal the mystery man's identity by quoting from your emails. From me, it's goodbye now, and many thanks to my special guests, Tracy and Henry.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks to Pavla and to all of you who took the time to contact us. If you're just tuning in, thanks for joining us.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, broadcasting on shortwave, via satellite, and on the internet. I'm Christian Falvey. And now to Ian Willoughby with this week's letter from Prague.
The Czechs are one of the tallest nations in the world. In fact, when I first came here, I found it slightly disconcerting. On a good day, I myself am 5 feet 10 inches, and I was used to feeling I was of average height in Ireland. But next to many Czech people, I suddenly fell short, an unpleasant feeling I thought I'd left behind forever, after a late but much welcomed spurt of growth at around 16 years of age. According to a piece in the newspaper Hospodářské noviny this week, the average height of a Czech man today is 180 centimetres. That's actually more or less my height, so to my surprise, I am averagely tall here after all. Nevertheless, I do see a lot more really big guys here than I ever saw at home. Apparently, the average Český muž reached only 168 centimetres in 1895, the first year somebody thought to measure such things. An academic at a university in Munich, John Komlas, says that in those days the Czechs were amongst the shortest nations in the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Today's average of 180 centimetres puts the Czechs near the top of the international tall table, in the same bracket as the Swedes and the Norwegians. But all three nations have to look up at a slight angle at the Danes and the Dutch, whose average is 185 centimetres. The average woman in the Czech Republic, by the way, measures 168 centimetres. That's compared to the 170 of her sisters in Denmark and Holland. It often strikes me that Czech politicians are an unusually tall bunch. Leaders of all kinds, no doubt, are taller in many countries. But sometimes when you see footage of ministers in Prague gathering for a cabinet meeting or what they call a family photo, it can look a bit like a giant's convention. One Prague-based scientist told Hospodářské noviny that average growth tends to occur in fits and starts, and after a period of sprouting, the Czechs are currently stagnating in this respect. While in the 20th century there was growth of 1 or 2 centimetres every 10 years, there has been none in the last decade. Professor John Komlas in Munich says he believes one reason that the Czechs are so tall is that society here is relatively balanced, with comparatively small differences in the living conditions of different classes. Only the Japanese, he says, are better off in this regard. Decent healthcare is another factor, says Professor Komlas. In fact, he says, the large number of people in the United States without health insurance is one reason that Americans are no longer, as they once were, taller than Europeans.
That was Ian Willoughby with Letter from Prague. Now, in this month's edition of Science Journal, The Final Frontier. These are the voyages of Tomáš Rosek, a Czech spaceship architect who is going where no Czech has gone before, to NASA, the asteroids, Mars, and beyond. Twenty-eight-year-old Tomáš Rosek aims high in his work. He has redesigned Prague on Mars, conceived an orbiting lunar hotel and a moon module that makes building material out of moon dust, and most recently his design for a ship using artificial gravity and a defunct International Space Station was rated the most innovative idea of a NASA conference called Explore Now. When he came to our studio this week, I talked to him, among other things, about how one becomes a space architect.
I started by doing futuristic architecture. We did an exhibition of future architecture in Prague, how it can evolve in the next 200 years up to a vision of a new Prague on Mars, which was like Mars colony on the Mars surface. And when I was deciding what to do in my life, what to do with the rest of my life, the best thing was actually to help with the biggest challenge is to help with space exploration and to really help getting people to Mars.
Okay, well, tell us about the project that NASA was interested in. I believe it's a ship proposed for travel to the asteroid belt.
Yeah.
and it has a rotating kind of arm that would provide gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me more?
Yeah. This proposal was designed for some near-Earth object, not to asteroid belt, but to one of the nearest asteroids. And the spacecraft is consisting of two parts. One is habitat, and other is propulsion module. And once you get the trajectory to asteroid, you can actually detach the two parts that are connected by Kevlar strings, Kevlar tethers.
These are very strong strings of metal. Is it?
It should be more like carbon based material. And the best would be carbon nanotubes, but we have to wait a bit.
Which aren't long enough yet.
Actually, they started producing them in like endless string. So now it's becoming real.
But what was it specifically about your project proposal that NASA appreciated?
In this case, this particular concept that was based on idea of my colleague Brian Wilcox, we together designed that mission that showed the potential of artificial gravity utilization and also the potential of using, for example, part of the ISS station, International Space Station, and it's possible, for example, to detach one module which would be connected with like new hardware and you can boost it to asteroid. It was a vision of what to do with a space station at the end of the lifetime. This will be assembled like at the space station together, and then it will be disconnected, you know, and then after the mission it should get back to ISS because it can't go directly through atmosphere. You have to, you know, get the astronauts back to ISS, and then you can go down to Earth by common spaceships that will be used for it.
But the gravitation, the rotating gravitational idea isn't anything new, is it?
That yeah,
is, we know that from 2001, for example.
Yeah, I love the film. That's something that you have to see many times when you are a scientist. Actually, I have seen also NASA official redesign of this spacecraft to Jupiter, for example. They really have shown the flaws of the design.
So you were actually inspired by this movie?
Yeah, of course. I like the movie, and actually the idea was firstly presented 100 years ago by Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, who is a father of rocket science, and he was actually a high school teacher in Russia, and he invented half of the things that the rocket science is based on, and one of them was also artificial gravity.
But there's not actually any missions currently being planned that your proposal would be used for. Is that right? It's for a hypothetical mission.
Actually, this is for a real mission because NASA, after the moon flight was cancelled, the Constellation program was cancelled, everybody wanted to go directly to Mars, but it wasn't possible because of current state of technology and funding. So actually, in recent times, NASA experts were designing new proposal which goes to near-Earth objects, to asteroid. It was published 1 week ago, and it's a really mission to asteroid, which is using space exploration vehicles, like new small vehicles for two people, for example, and the new infrastructure that is planned.
So you actually hope that you could see your plans come to fruition and actually be constructed?
Not in this form as it was designed, but the real proposal that was done by other teams, it has like very similar features.
You may be surprised to learn that I'm also a spacecraft designer.
Really?
Really.
That's cool.
When I stopped when I was 13.
Yeah.
And my work dealt primarily with improvements to the Enterprise starship.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, you're fulfilling the dream of many, many, many boys. Was this a love of yours when you were a child as well?
Of course, I wanted to, redesign all the planet and start building space colonies and so on. And then you are a bit disappointed that it's not fast as you think in the beginning. But this is something that you can really like dedicate several lives.
But tell me about the process of going from dreaming about this as a child to actually doing it at the age of only 28. How did you not get sidetracked into other work?
Yeah, well, I was always trying to combine like commercial design work, for example, and something which was uncommercial, but like helping to improve something. And I try to balance it in my life that I started a company for architecture and design, ATC.net. And I was at the same time, for example, with other friends organizing futuristic architecture exhibitions. And after our Faculty of Architecture in Prague, I got to International Space University in Strasbourg, and I got a scholarship from European Space Agency to cover half of the fees. And thanks to this, I was able to study space architecture, to travel all around the Europe and America to see how the rockets and satellites are built nowadays.
And I understand you have some interesting projects coming up. You're working on a lunar module and a lunar hotel.
Yeah. Lunar module and orbital hotel. And in the case of lunar module, it's based on the technology of 3D printing with the lunar soil directly by robotics technology that is heating up the soil and baking actually the whole habitat. Which is a new emerging technology that would allow to build whole cities on Moon just thanks to solar power, for example. And if we would have something like this on Earth, it would be totally excellent. And the other project is an orbital hotel that is idea of Andrei Doule. And it will be presented, both of these projects will be presented next week on the big space congress here.
Right, but when you come up with an idea and a design for something like a lunar hotel, and you present it at a conference, where does it go from there? I mean, so far, obviously, 100% of such ideas have finished somewhere in a filing cabinet, so...
Yeah. Well, with the space architecture, the things are very much on the beginning. We are still in, like, first centuries of the...
Space exploration.
Exploration, you know. It's something that you can put into file cabinet and people in 50 years will take it out and they will use it somewhere. So it's not so much aimed in these cases to applicate it directly in reality. But for example, this lunar habitat was designed when the Constellation program of USA was at full speed, and it was working very well with the infrastructure that America was planning. Leaders of architecture team, they liked the module very much. So if we would go to Moon, it would be one of the things maybe considered for that, because it was using effectively the technologies that they were developing. And for example, now they are asking for new funding to test these technologies. And this lunar module is like an example of the potential of the technology. So it's used for research.
It's amazing. So to all the children out there, you really can make a living drawing spaceships and lunar hotels and so on.
Well, in this case, when everybody is speaking, for example, about space tourism and so on, it's a really important thing for the whole development of the whole planet, because with these first pioneers that pay for the ticket to get to space, just at least to see the horizon on the short suborbital flights. Once hundreds of thousands of people start stepping into the space, then it will be possible to build more and more ships, to put it in the same process, to start a similar process like in aviation, when on the beginning it was a suicide discipline, and then it was long time just for the richest ones. And now it is, after it was so risky, now it is more safe to fly by Boeing than to walk across here in Prague on the road. So I feel it like the same development.
That was space architect Tomáš Rosek ending that edition of Science Journal. That brings us to the end of today's program on Radio Prague, and I'd like to remind you, your questions and comments are important to us. We look forward to hearing from you by email at english@radio.cz or by snail mail at our address Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague. I'm Christian Falvey, and I, along with the rest of the staff at Radio Prague, wish you a lovely day, and thank you for listening.